On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway!
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And
I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get 20% off your next order. Welcome back from the weekend. Happy New Year to you, Matt. I'm glad we could at least celebrate a win yesterday. At least two wins in Chicago sports yesterday to some degree. But at least for this Bulls team, we got to see a win yesterday and Zach LaVine lighting it up. Hopefully you had a good New Year. How you doing, man?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Happy New Year to you. Happy New Year to all of our listeners out there in Bulls Nation. Hopefully everybody had a nice, safe holiday weekend and is ready to start 2021 off and hopefully on a much better foot than most of 2020. Nice that the Bulls started the they started technically the new year with that blowout loss to the Bucks, but it was a good bounce back in this very winnable game against the Mavs. I would have been very disappointed if they did not pull that one out, considering in addition to being without Kristaps, they were without their MVP candidate, Luka Doncic, who was probably just resting, if we're being perfectly honest. So, yeah, I mean, more of the random grab bag of good and bad in those first two games of January 2021 for the Bulls.
We don't have to spend a ton of time on the Milwaukee blowout because I just don't feel like there was much to gain from that game. But I had to laugh, man. Like, our last conversation before the new year started was about Denzel Valentine and the dudes trying to do behind-the-back passes when they're down 28. And
oh, my God. Not even behind the back. A between-the-legs trying to hit a trailer on a fast break, not knowing that he was being chased by two Bucks defenders. And if Denzel had just taken a layup, he would have gotten 2 points. And he tried to do that ridiculous, flashy, between-the-legs pass bullshit. I mean, if I'm Billy Donovan, that play alone benches Denzel for the rest of the season. That was utter trash.
It's just, I feel like they think that they're still in preseason to some extent, some of these guys at least. And it's just like, what the... I get you're getting your ass whooped, but to not even convert the play to just looks so foolish. But I'll say this, Matt, we can go over the Bucks game a little bit. Just overall theme of this episode today, kind of talking about both of these, this win and this loss. I just told you that I feel like I'm falling on the side, and I know it's only 2 weeks, but I feel like I'm falling on the side of this team is a lot less fun to watch and a lot more difficult and frustrating than I initially thought that they were going to be. Like, even in that Mavs win, man, I came away from it and I was like, that wasn't a fun game to watch at all. I watched Zach LaVine drop 29 in the first half and they were still down against a Luka Doncic-less and Kristaps-less Mavs team. So, like, even picking up the win, I saw a lot of good things. It's just, it's a tough watch on most nights, and I didn't expect that this year.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I kind of hit a point watching that Mavs game and, you know, maybe right around halftime where I was like, okay, it's a tight game. The Bulls are still trailing the Mavs by, you know, like a bucket, and Zach had damn near 30 in the first half and the Mavs are without their two best players. is this honestly, you know, where we are? But, you know, not necessarily super surprising and not all that, you know, demoralizing, because I was very aware of what this season was going to be. You know, Bulls fans who had just these lofty expectations this year because of a new coach and a new front office, you returned the same roster. Save Garrett Temple and the, you know, departures of Chris Dunn and Shaq Harrison, you returned the same roster. What did you think was going to be different? Now, that being said, I think there's already evidence of the guys slowly figuring out how to play better under Billy Donovan's offensive and defensive systems, but absolutely there are already some noticeable growing pains that come along with that. But yeah, man, I mean, needing a near 40 burger from Zach to beat that Mavs team as shorthanded as they were, I'm ready to climb into the tank, man. I really am.
It's been tough, and like, there's a lot of bright things. There's a lot of bright spots that we can talk about too, and it's going to get better throughout the season. I have no doubt about that. If Garrett Temple and Thaddeus Young can stay healthy, I think things are going to get better. You can just see just their impact in these first few games that they've been back with the team. They've had a lot of influence, and I think in the games in which they've won, and some of these younger guys being out there, like one thing example is Stacey King, I think, brought this up on the broadcast, and it was a good point. It's like Temple's the only one out there. When he's out there, he's screaming and yelling at everybody and constantly communicating, and that's something what we talked about last week, is that that's going to be
like,
a huge
like when
thing.
He chucked the ball back at yes, Wendell and yes. demanded that he take that three.
Yes! It's like that's the type of thing we need on this team, and Garrett Temple doesn't have to be a world beater by any means, but just a dude that's going to chuck the ball back at Wendell in that example. It's like, shoot the damn ball, you're wide open. So those guys, I think, are going to hopefully instill a ground level of work for these guys and understanding what it means to win and how you need to win. I guess I had my hopes up from not seeing this team in 9 months play and say, okay, I think with a brand new everything, everybody fully healthy, things would look a little bit different. But maybe I need to curb my enthusiasm a little bit for this season.
They're just not good.
Yeah.
I mean, like you can look forward to trying to see growth from certain players, and maybe Bulls fans have different rankings and tiers as far as which players, especially the younger guys, that they would like to see get better because they hope that they are a part of this team moving forward. And maybe the improvement of said players will make you as a Bulls fan feel more inclined to watch and feel a little bit more hopeful about the future, even if the Bulls aren't stacking a lot more W's this year, if you can see evidence of growth. And, you know, maybe it's also, okay, I'd like to see some improvement from this player, hopefully because it just raises his trade value, if nothing else, because basically through the first 6 or 7 games, I have doubled down on my opinion that a year from now, this roster will be almost completely different than it is now. I truly believe that they are not going to keep a good amount of these guys. Save for Patrick Williams, I don't think a single piece of this roster is quote-unquote untradeable right now. In addition to the veteran guys on expiring deals or partially guaranteed deals, every piece of this young core that we have spent the last couple years talking about is for sale, I think, for the right price. And that's just the reality that the Bulls are in right now, and I have already made peace with that.
No doubt, and I think that I think you're right on that, man. Like, the more and more I think about it, it's like, that doesn't necessarily mean that none of these guys are going to be here, but nothing's off the table at this point. And if AK wants to build it and Mark Eversley want to build it with truly their guys, they start with just Patrick Williams as kind of their, yeah, we're not dealing him for a few years until we see at least what we have or make a decision on that. But I'm with you, man. I would say probably 60 to 70% of this roster will look completely different by next season's start. But that's interesting to me too, because the Bulls have a lot of valuable pieces too. So I wonder what they're going to get for them. Again,
except of course for that max contract that Denzel's going to get. You know, fast break passing superstar.
Oh man, it's just that. between that and look, I won't kill Kobe for missing a couple of threes, but some of those air balls that these guys have had over the last two games have been fucking brutal, man.
We got to tell our listeners about Bet Online, but after that, we do have to talk about Kobe, especially in that Bucks game, because man, I've got some thoughts.
I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. They've been a fantastic partner for the entire Locked On Podcast Network, and it's brand new, and we're glad to be on board with them. NFL playoffs are starting. We've got the wild card picture if you're looking to bet on the Chicago Bears against the Saints on Saturday. I don't know how much success you're going to have, but that's certainly out there for you to bet on. The NBA season is in full swing. I was just telling Matt that yesterday, NBA parlay I hit was 43-1 odds. So maybe I'm going to start tweeting some of those out, or maybe even Matt and I can start giving out maybe a Bulls pick or two for the games for anybody that likes to bet. And the only place you want to do that is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. So you deposit $50, they're going to give you $25 free to play with. You deposit $100, they're going to give you $50 free to play with. So NFL games, still got some bowl games and college going on, the college football playoffs going on, and NBA is well underway. So get in the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbooks experts. So, Matt, I'll let you kind of take the floor on this with Kobe White and start. But, man, just he had a great game. Like, statistically, he had a great game yesterday. But that air ball was was brutal.
Yeah, and I mean, in the win over Dallas, he clearly just let Zach take the main stage because everybody realized Zach had it cooking in that first, 21 points, basically like, here, Zach, take the ball and go score. Bulls fans certainly are very familiar with that script because we saw it, more than every other night last season. But, so Kobe had himself a nice, strong second half, where he knocked down some big shots later in the game. When Zach started to try and get his teammates involved once the Dallas defense really started keying on him. But going back to that Bucks game in particular, I think that was the game where I was like, okay, the Kobe White point guard experiment to me is over. Like, I love the kid. I love his heart. I love his work ethic. And I love the skills that he does have. And I know that he's doing everything he can to get better. And, we were just talking about none of this core of young pieces being untradeable. I would love it if there is a role that keeps Kobe here in Chicago under the new coaching staff and the new front office, because I do believe that he is going to be a talent and a plus NBA player in his career, but not as a starting point guard. Like, there is a, I think there are two situations where guys can thrive as a starting point guard in this league. And one of them is when you are a high IQ player who has amazing court vision, who has great handles and great passing ability, and you're a guy who's going to rack up at least 10 dimes a night. And you can also, in addition to that, chip in mid-range, free throw line, get yourself a couple of easy looks at the rim, and you're like, a 15-10 point guard. And then there are the point guards who are so gifted as scorers that it doesn't necessarily matter that they are not, the prototypical quote-unquote point guard, the floor general, the guy who is going to look to get his teammates involved before he looks to score for himself. And through seven games of the Kobe starting in the backcourt alongside Zach experiment, I have reached a decision that Kobe and Zach are both in the no man's land in between those two things. And it means that they cannot work as a starting backcourt moving forward. Kobe can be a microwave scorer off the bench, a guard a la, Jamal Crawford, who comes in, who gets his, 15-20 every night. And some nights he can explode for 30 or 35 if he's got it cooking. And that's a great thing to have on your roster. But starting point guard, I'm closing that book on Kobe after seven games, man.
That's quick, but I don't necessarily disagree with anything that you had just said, too. I think the biggest question that I have is then, if that's your mindset, and even if Billy Donovan kind of feels that way right now, there's no point in not letting him just run the point for the rest of the season. If this is truly just an evaluation season, you might as well get him as many minutes as he can, get some experience as being a point guard, even if that isn't truly what he's going to do in the future. Whether you bring him off the bench and you just want him to be more of a pure shooter, any of that. But I think on top of that, Matt, like the inconsistent playmaking, and look, he's missed a lot of the guys. The Bulls haven't been fully healthy. He's missing a couple of shooters. The Bulls have been off to terrible starts in the first half, too. Kobe has been shooting terrible, too, in the first half, man, especially from three. I was just looking at it right now. Kobe is 26 for 23 in the first half of games this year so far from three. That's about 26% from three. And he's taking the second most shots in the first half from three. So when Kobe doesn't knock down his threes and or Zach doesn't start to knock down his threes early out in the games, you see the Bulls start to get into deficits. And that's something that we can't have. So while Kobe tries to figure this playmaking thing out and whether it's going to work long term, the one thing we do need from him consistently is being able to score. And you notice that too. And that's something that Billy Donovan and we've talked about the last couple of weeks, is just getting down on yourself when shots aren't hitting early. And I can see that. It's affecting him and it's affecting Carter. And to some extent, it was affecting Markkanen in spots too. But you can't get down on yourself if you are going to truly be the lead point guard, even if you are missing shots like Kobe is. Do you have any concern about his shooting start, or is it just a classic case of, hey, it's a slump, he'll bounce back, I believe in his shooting?
Yeah, no, I mean, I have very little concerns about Kobe's shooting start. I think we saw last season just how deadly of a shooter he can be. And then even after a quiet first half when Zach had it going, knocking down big shots and finishing with four made threes, you know, in their win over Dallas the other night. That is the least of my concerns with Kobe. That dude can cook and get hot as good as any guard in this league when he's, you know, shooting from deep. The thing that his overall percentages have been low so far this season that's kind of weird to me, and I'm pretty sure Adam Amin pointed out in one of their recent broadcasts, is that like Kobe's looks in mid-range and, you know, some floaters and things that he usually hits, those have not been falling, and he hasn't finished at the rim as well, which again, I think is just like some weird funk that he will come out of. Maybe he's rusty. Maybe he's, you know, getting used to playing again after such a long layoff. To me, it's all about the point guard stuff. So I'm not worried about his shot, his percentages. I think they'll come around. To me, like that game in particular against the Bucks, you know, four turnovers and only three assists. Well, it's because he went up against the best defense that the Bulls have played this season. And a good defense like that, you know, while we were kind of excited about some of the things we saw from Kobe in preseason, executing the pick and roll a little bit better, the Bulls pick and roll couldn't do jack squat against that Bucks defense. Whether the Bucks were playing in zone or they were playing man or they were shading and hedging, could not get anything. They had more turnovers than assists as a team.
The Bulls offense doesn't work when they're nailing threes left and right to the other team just shooting from wherever they wanted. Like, that was another thing, is the Bulls are just giving up an insane amount of three-pointers too, and we kind of expected that to happen this season, man. But, I mean, I wasn't expecting the Bucks to come out and just unload from basically anywhere they wanted.
The Bucks had set an NBA record like two games prior to playing.
Correct, so they were coming in hot.
29 made threes.
Correct, they were coming in hot, but still, like, they're giving up so many threes. And that's when they get down, too. It's a combination of not hitting their own shots early on and then allowing these teams to get out to these fast starts and shooting really well from three. But I do agree with you. I think the thing that I want to ask you to answer this question, to kind of sum up Kobe real fast, is even if you don't believe him in as the point guard of the future for this team and just don't feel like it's going to work, do you still believe that he should just be out there and running the point anyway if this is truly evaluation season and nothing more?
I mean, I don't see the harm in that.
Do you see him gaining experience from that? Is kind of what I'm asking, I guess.
Yeah. Yes. Because like wherever he is now, it's not like I don't believe he can improve in those other elements of what makes a good point guard in the NBA. I'm just saying I don't think he is the perfect fit to play that position long term as like a career long role. But given that the Bulls are in this year of evaluation and recalibration, you know, like to me, it's not about playing Kobe in the role that he is best suited for, which in my opinion is a guy who can just come in and score a bunch and maybe do so off the bench. Because to me, this season is not about wins. It would be good for the mental health and confidence of some of these young players, especially those who will stick around, to experience some more winning than they did last year. Because when you lose that much, you could see just how much that can get players down, especially
wins are always good.
But it's not like I'm saying bench Kobe because I don't believe in him as a true point guard anymore. And thusly, what's the point of that experiment?
No,
I think if they plan on keeping Kobe around, allowing him to, take off the training wheels and grow in whatever ways he can is a good thing. And even if that comes with some growing pains, it's a good thing.
Totally. And I think he can pick up a lot of good things, even if he isn't the point guard of the future. Like just being able to have some of those skills or the awareness of what it means to have to try and be the playmaker on the team and the lead point guard and the orchestrator of the offense, even if he isn't that guy long term. I think that just having that experience for an entire season, whether it mean a bunch of wins or not, I think that there's definitely some tools and some experience that he can pick up even if he isn't the guy long term. And I'm cool with that, even if he isn't the guy. And I think that you're trending towards the path that I'm on. I'm waiting to be a little bit more patient to see maybe the first third of the season, maybe the first half of the season, truly evaluate what Kobe's doing. Because again, this schedule is tough. It's weird that they haven't played in 9 months. Maybe that's just me making excuses for him. But I'm going to be a little bit more patient, but I'm starting to trend down the same road that you've followed, man.
Jordan, before we wrap up for the day, we should probably talk about the front court a little bit with these last couple of games now that we've talked about the back court. Before we do that, though, I wanted to tell our listeners about Built Bar. Our great friends at Built Bar, who have been sponsors of Locked On Bulls and the shows across the Locked On Podcast Network for well over a year now. We're through the holidays. It's a fresh year. It's a fresh start. Maybe some people are trying to, knock off a couple of those holiday pounds from all of those cheat days between Christmas and New Year's. So why not do so or try to do so with the delicious protein bars that taste like candy bars? And that's Built Bar. Try one of six of their new delicious flavors like lemon almond cheesecake, apple almond crisp, carrot cake, cherry barcia, cookies and cream, and caramel brownie. You got some of the OG flavors like mint brownie, salted caramel, orange, toffee almond, and German chocolate. These Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. Built Bar is great for the healthy conscious sports fans out there. Lose a couple pounds, maintain your weight while indulging in these delicious treats. The Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet if that's your thing. Take, for example, the peanut butter bar, which comes with 19 whole grams of protein while only 180 calories. Just 5 grams of sugar and only 5 net carbs. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code Locked On, will get 20% off your next order. Again, that's promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Well, Jordan, the Gafford stands and Wendell stands in the giant, massive Bulls fandom have really been going at each other the last few games, and we got more fuel for the fire in the Bulls win over Dallas. An okay kind of blah game from Wendell. Gafford came in, had some thunderous dunks per usual off the bench. Pretty efficient night. He also had a nice night at the free throw line where he went a perfect 6 of 6 after that was sort of one of the weaker spots of his rookie year and the first few games of this season. Your thoughts on the latest in the Wendell versus Gafford stands among Bulls fans?
Man, I had a good laugh too because I'm like sitting here watching Bulls pregame right before the Bucks game, and Will Perdue is getting angry about it, and I was like, man, I don't even know where this conversation started. Like, where did this sub Wendell out long term for Gafford? Didn't we just have the conversation in preseason about how Gafford couldn't finish anything around the rim? Well, he's a great rebounder and he stretches the floor and blocks shots and defends halfway decent and plays with a ton of heart too and a ton of effort, but his offensive finishing has been terrible. Granted, The last couple of games, it's turned around, actually, man. It's been really good. He was 3-for-3 against the Mavs. He was 2-for-2 against Milwaukee. And he was 7-for-8 against Washington just a couple of days ago. But, no, long-term, you need to see what you got in Wendell. I understand people are frustrated with Wendell right now. And I love Gafford, man. Talk about a fucking steal of a pick, man. He is so good, and he's still so young, too. So, I don't know, man. I'm... If you're trying to win games, then fine. Go with the trend and go with the guy that's working hot. But if you're just evaluating, again, if you're taking this as evaluation season, no change needs to be made. And I think Gafford's confidence has been really, really good coming off the bench with the second unit and in different roles. I don't know. What do you think, man?
Yeah, I think it was a predictable topic of debate and heated debate among the fan base, because Wendell is being asked to do a bunch of new stuff, and he's being asked to do more stuff with Billy Donovan than he ever did with Jim Boylan. Jim Boylan was basically like, hey, anchor this weird gimmicky defense that I'm going to do, and also you're not allowed to do anything on offense. Cool? Great. Awesome. Go. And now it's like, okay, Wendell's being asked to do a hell of a lot more, and he's not very good at any of it yet, and he hasn't figured out yet how to balance any of that. And meanwhile, you got Gafford coming in playing these spot bench minutes, especially when the Bulls have been shorthanded. And he is, like, just for the eye test people, you're like, wow, that guy crashes the offensive glass and has thunderous dunks and is just really simple and efficient, setting screens and rolling to the rim and playing above the rim in ways that Wendell Carter Jr. really doesn't. And then, you know, he's got the rim protection and the eye-popping blocks, on the defensive end. And, I understand the Gafford people who look and say, look at what this guy does, and what does Wendell do? And why is this guy coming off the bench? Why is this guy starting? To me, it's like Gafford is the perfect bench role guy who gives you that energy off the bench. He is, you know, he's the new age Taj Gibson. The guy who could play above the rim like that and hammer down those powerful dunks and add a little bit of life and punch to a second unit, which, guess what? The second unit and the team as a whole kind of needs, because as we have figured out this season already, Donovan's going real young with that starting lineup. And I think that that is completely understandable and logical. But that Bulls starting unit is getting outplayed by their opponent's starting unit more nights than not. And the second unit comes in with some savvy veteran, you know, leadership and talent like Otto, like Garrett Temple, but they also need a little bit of that youth and that fire, and that's what Gafford brings. So it's like right now, neither of these pieces is ideal. Wendell and Gafford are both players who are flawed and are young and are developing. And mostly I just think it's hilarious that, like, half of the fan base is so convinced that Wendell's the right answer, and half the fan base is so convinced that it should be Gafford. And I'm just sitting here eating popcorn being like, guys, but like we're arguing over shit that doesn't matter, because I don't think both of these guys are going to be here long term.
Totally, man. I don't think it matters long term either. It is kind of cool and interesting to see how Billy Donovan is using Gafford, though. Seems like he's using him sort of like the way he used Nerlens Noel in OKC the last 2 years. And that might be interesting. It might play out well for Gafford, especially. I mean, Nerlens shot combined 65% from the field. He was grabbing about 5 rebounds a game. He was staying around that 7 to 8 point marker, too. It's just enough for that spark, that speed, to stretch the floor enough coming off the bench that you don't have to feel like you're completely deflated. He's a guy that brings a lot of energy. Like you said, we haven't had that guy in a while. So we need that player. And, like, perfect example against the Mavs. Dude, him and Otto Porter's energy, I think, combined with the fact that Zach was able to drop 39 in this game, all of that mattered. And without Gafford and Otto in those stretches late in that second half, I don't think the Bulls win that game yesterday, and that would have been an even more embarrassment thing to talk about today as opposed to a win. But we need more guys like that. Even if they're not going to be here long term, good to see them starting to have and gain some confidence. It would only mean better things for the Bulls if they decide to deal those guys or whatnot. But yeah no conversation between Carter and Gafford long term.
To your point about the Mavs game in particular, I think it's important to point out, and this is not the first time we've seen it, when the fan base is up in arms arguing at each other against, you know, like Gafford and Wendell, and this debate that's going crazy right now. Donovan is playing this balancing act, and I think he's done a pretty good job of it so far. And just like I was talking about the starting unit and its youth and the veteran unit off the bench and how that's been balanced, and the fact that the reserves are playing well and outperforming their counterparts, and the starters on more nights than not are kind of getting their butts kicked and digging themselves a hole. What happened at the end of that Mavs game, a game where the Bulls are holding a lead but a marginal lead and trying to get a win? Because I do think Donovan understands the importance of and benefit of getting some wins for these young guys. At the 4:10 mark of the fourth quarter, Billy Donovan subbed out Wendell Carter Jr. and put in his place Garrett Temple. Billy Donovan closed the fourth quarter with who at the five? Not Gafford, not Wendell, Thad Young. So, like, when you zoom out a little bit and look big picture, Donovan is using a veteran lineup to close these games along with, yeah, probably Kobe and or Zach, but he's closing with vets because vets know how to close games. And Wendell and Gafford both have good things about their game. They both have flaws. Neither of them are playing well enough to close games right now. He closed the game with Thad at the five. There's a little big picture wake-up call for Bulls fans who are at each other's throats about Wendell versus Gafford.
It's funny, man. It truly does mean something that we see that, and the Bulls successfully pull off a win. Jim Boylan was right to an extent when he said this about Wendell about a year and a half ago.
Well, sometimes you learn by sitting, too.
I mean, maybe sometimes you do learn by sitting and watching vets close games and learn how to actually close those games. You're right, man. And I was laughing because our buddies over at Locked On Mavericks were just fawning over Thaddeus Young. He's like, dude, he is like the biggest dude out on the floor right now. He's all over the place, just dominating us without Doncic or Porzingis. So I had a good laugh at that, too. But again, I think it's nothing to get super upset about, and Bulls fans love to have these conversations, so I don't kind of blame them. Oh, man, before we get out of here, I do have to ask you really quickly if you have any concern about Markkanen, if you're concerned about his injury, him being kind of in and out of the lineup, concerned about at least the overall health of the entire team and not having all of our pieces together still for a complete game yet.
Yeah, of course it's concerning. You know, in addition to Lowry, and I'll get to him in a second, I also just miss Sato. After seeing what Sato was doing, just sort of, you know, having a nice, calming and efficient presence commanding the offense of that second unit and some of the overlap minutes where Sato also got some time with some of the starters. Like, I know that Sato was underwhelming last season, but I thought between like his one preseason game and that he had to quarantine for a while because of his connection to Noah Vonleh. And then he came back a couple of those games. I was like, oh my God, like look at how efficient Sato is being in his role off the bench. And I was really looking forward to it. And then to have him get shelved and then not just shelved because of the safety protocol, but now we've learned that he has also himself tested positive. That is certainly concerning. And then as far as Lowry, we didn't know. Donovan talked about it and was like, you know, had he not been one of the guys that he had to remove for health and safety protocols, they were going to let him warm up, you know, with that calf injury that he re-aggravated and then kind of make him a game time decision. Had he not been, you know, mandatorily pulled for the COVID related stuff. And now I'm just crossing my fingers and hoping and praying that Lowry does not test positive at any point here while he's finishing out his necessary quarantine. Because I really liked some of the things that we were seeing from Lowry in preseason, in the first few games, his aggressiveness, attacking mismatches, attacking the basket, getting to the free throw line. Things that we saw from Lowry his first year and his second year that we saw zip zilch nada of in year three when Boylan stuffed him in the corner. And we've all been over a million times, who's at fault for the crap year that Lowry had last season? This season, I've already been so encouraged by what we saw from him. And now to see him have to sit out because of quarantine and also a little bit nervous about this, you know, is he going to have a nagging injury with this calf? because he's had some nagging injuries in his first three seasons that didn't necessarily go away, and I thought have contributed to his lack of aggression and lack of physical play. Yes, I am very, very, very concerned because I want him to have a huge year.
Feel bad for the dudes that tested positive, and hopefully they come back and they don't have symptoms, or you know, they fully recover from COVID. But I feel bad especially for Thomas Satoransky, man. It's been a difficult year for him. Remember back like in May and June when they still haven't decided about the NBA and their return to play and who's going to return to play, and he wasn't allowed to go back to the Czech Republic where his family lives too. And he talked about that multiple times. So I thought about that too. I was like, man, this has been an extremely difficult year. And that's just one player in the NBA. So kind of felt bad for him too. Hopefully he is recovers fully and he's back out on the floor sooner rather than later. Same thing with Chandler Hutchison too, because as much as people want a bag on Chandler, he's been pretty damn good, and he's been only a plus for this team so far this year. So I want to see him back out there too, sooner rather than later. I got a Lauri Markkanen stat that might make you happy, though. This from Josh Eberle a couple days ago. He said, of the 32 players currently getting 5+ catch and shoot opportunities a game, the top 5 in effective field goal percentage in the NBA are number 1, Joe Harris at 83.3%, number 2, Lou Dort at 82.5%, Lauri Markkanen at number 3, 71.7%, 4, Mikhail Bridges at 70.6%, and number 5, Nikola Vucevic at 69.2%. So that's exactly what we've asked from last year, man.
Hell yeah,
is a complete transition and being able to knock down those catch and shoot opportunities at a higher clip. And he's doing that, which is good to see.
I dig it. Now we just got to get him back on the court. And, you know, as for this 4-game road trip that the Bulls are about to start, you know, first one on deck against the Blazers in Portland tomorrow night, 9:30 tip Central Time. Donovan talks a little bit about a post game, as far as whether or not some of the isolated guys are going to be able to join them at some point on the road trip. It sounds like they definitely will not be leaving with the team today when the team flies to Portland. And then Donovan said it'll just kind of be a day-to-day thing where, based on where they are in the road trip and what they see as the pros and cons, weighing the, you know, the benefit and potential risks of flying one or some of those guys out there to join the team if they feel they are ready and that, you know, have cleared league protocols and whatever. So we may or may not see Lowry on any point of this 4-game road trip, which would be a bummer to have to wait through all 4 of those games. And I mean, it's going to be a tough road trip, and it certainly will not be any easier if they're missing those guys.
Just because we're playing the Blazers. The Blazers got their ass kicked by the Warriors last night. And shout out to Steph Curry for dropping a new career high. It's 62 points yesterday. But I saw this tweet.
I thought the Blazers hired Jim Boylan as a defensive consultant. How did they let one player score 60-plus on him?
Dude, I saw that tweet. It says the Blazers brought in Jim Boylan as a defensive consultant. Now Steph has 45 through 3/4. This can't be a coincidence. Oh, man.
Sure can't.
That just warms my heart.
Although before Bulls fans laugh, I mean, the Bulls' perimeter defense has been pretty poopy so far this season. And nothing says, you know, code red, alert, alert, oh, dear God, this might be bad, avert your eyes, than the Bulls and their perimeter defense going up against Dame and CJ McCollum.
Dude, and McCollum has been so good so far this season. The NBA has been a lot of damn fun to watch, man. Across the entire slate, there's storylines all over the place. So it is exciting to kind of see for once, though, teams that we haven't seen yet this season, see the Trailblazers again. And like you said, this road trip is going to be very, very difficult for the Bulls. I'm curious how they react to it and how they respond. But Darnell tweeted it out. He said, if the playoffs started yesterday night, the Bulls are the 10 seed, man. The Bulls are the 10 seed.
Woo.
Well, at least
that's about as excited as I feel about the Bears backing into the extra wild card spot after getting demolished by the Packers at home. Yay. What, do you want me to actually celebrate that shit? Yeah, hey, everybody gets a participation trophy. What do you fucking do?
First 2 weeks of the season, yeah, and if it's any indication, the Nets are 3-4 as well as the Bulls are, and they're in the 9th seed, so, and they had some struggles yesterday closing out games, but I don't imagine the Nets finishing at 9 either, so. So at least a little optimism for any Bulls fans out there hoping for playoff opportunities, or at least in the play-in game. But that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thanks for listening. Thanks for kicking your new year off this week with us, Locked On Bulls. You can hit us up with your mailbag questions. We're going to do mailbag later this week. Text in voicemails at 331-979-1369. You text your voicemails. Anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. You can drop us an email, too, if you want to go a little bit more long form. Just got to get your thoughts out there. LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Fans it out for P. Will. Off the spin, on attack, and he cannot find it, but Kobe on the reload for three. That was pretty anticlimactic.
Hey, the way you shot that, the way you sounded, I was waiting for the big finish. You were like...
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.